Chapter 7. Dropping down into the ferrocrete confines of the tunnel, Reaver Sergeant Marcus held his bolt carbine in one hand and his long blade in the other. His auto-sensors overlaid his sight with multiple spectra, driving back the darkness and revealing shambling half-shapes amidst the deeper shadows. As expected, bulky power conduits took up most of the tunnel space, while the ceiling was low enough that Marcus was forced to stoop to avoid catching his skull-faced helm on low pipes and jutting gauge assemblies. "Targets ahead," he voxed to his squad. "We're going to have to advance single file and engage as best we can. Brother Ignacio, you have rearguard. Brother Tanis, mapping. Keep us on the right path if we're busy with battle. Blades only, unless in extremis." Vox clicks came back to him, signals that his squad had received and understood their orders. There were 8 of them in all, down from 10 after the hard-fought battle earlier that day. More than enough, however, to complete their mission. Sergeant Marcus led off along the tunnel, setting a swift pace. The first plague mutant died before it even knew he was there, his blade punching through the back of its neck and all but sawing its head off. The second fell as it turned towards him, a foot and a half of combat knife sliding through its eye socket into its rotted brain. More of the creatures staggered towards him, their moans filling the enclosed space. The sounds made him feel nauseous, as though some sort of poison were seeping into his mind. "Mute your audio intakes," he ordered, as he hacked and tore his way through the creatures. "Vox communication only."
"You feel that too, Sergeant?" asked Tanis.
"There is some heretical taint to their voices. I will not risk its corruption." Marcus punched his gun butt into another rotting face, shattering the thing's blast goggles and snapping its head back in a spray of fluids. The corpse mutant crumpled, still grinning. "That's the last of them, for now."
"Movement at our rear, Sergeant," said Brother Ignacio.
"Keep moving," he replied. "We can't let these abominations slow us down, or the whole attack fails." He set off along the tunnel, scanning the darkness for threats and watching the chronometer on his helm display as it ticked slowly downwards. Captain Dzansk stood atop a chimera, ignoring the oily rain that poured down upon him. He surveyed the last of his forces, a few hundred fighting men and women clad in the battered and stained uniforms of the Cadian Imperial Guard. The last few regimental preachers and commissars moved through the ranks, offering a muttered benediction here, a stern gaze there. A half-company of Lehman Russ tanks idled off to one side, engines rumbling, while their commanders sat high in their cupolas to listen to his address.
"Soldiers of Cadia," began Dzansk,
his voice amplified through the speaker on Voxman Kavya's pack.
"You have fought long and hard for this world, and I salute your tenacity, your bravery, your faith."
Many of his warriors made the sign of the Aquila, but their faces remained grim. They knew what was coming.
"Yet our work is not done," said Dzansk. "The enemy remains. Our emperor asks more of us, and we shall answer yes."
He saw the determination in their faces. They were strong, Cadian steel still in their spines, despite the weeks of hardship they had endured and the threat of almost certain death.
"The heretic foe have poured their filth down upon us. They've inflicted every hardship and horror that they could. Lesser soldiers would have faltered long ago, but still we stand strong. I look upon you and see not broken souls, but brave soldiers of the Imperium, and it swells my heart with pride."
He saw a few heads rise a little at that, a few shoulders straighten.
"Perhaps our enemy thought us defeated, just as the Despoiler thought us defeated when he shattered our world beneath our feet. But we were not defeated then, and we are not defeated now. I keep Khazar Partox in my heart, and I know you all do too. Today, we go into battle alongside the glorious Adeptus Astartes of the Ultramarines chapter, in the service of no less than Primarch Rabute Gilliman himself. and we will prevail!
This raised a cheer at last, albeit a hollow one. He saw the waxy pallor of his soldier's skin, the lesions and marks of sickness that clung to so many, just as they marred his own flesh beneath his sodden uniform. Dzansk and his regiment had been immersed for too long amidst the contagions of the enemy, and put down too many of their own sick to believe that they were making it off Kalidis alive. He had agreed when Lieutenant Cassian had outlined his plan to retreat through the gates of the Astropathic Fortress, but he had done so knowing that he could not risk bringing disease inside those walls.
"Be strong, brothers and sisters of Cadia," he cried. "Gird your hearts with faith, armor your souls with contempt, and remember that to die in the Emperor's name is an honor without compare."
He clambered down from his perch and boarded his transport, Caviar and the drafted replacements for his command squad following him in.
"Soldiers of Cadia,"
voxed Dzansk as he strapped himself into his restraints.
"In the Emperor's name, advance."
"It is all of them, Lord," said Blorthos. "I can see them moving like maggots through the corpse of this city."
Gerlok led the Witherings down a half-flooded processional, plague marines and thrumming bloat drones following in his wake. He shook his head in disgust at Blorthos's words.
"Such a waste," he said. "These fools had days and days of sickness and sorrow yet to offer up. Now the Ultramarines throw their allies' lives away, and for what? A distraction."
"They are ignorant creatures, Lord,"
came Thrax's voice over the vox.
"So be it," sighed Gerlok heavily. "These Imperials have no idea how to savor their own suffering. Once again, they prove themselves ungrateful. My patience with them has run out."
"The Space Marines,"
Thrax began, but Gerlok cut him off, suddenly irked by his subordinate's gasping voice.
"The Space Marines will undoubtedly strike when they believe us sufficiently engaged. Perhaps they will even bombard us from orbit again. None of that matters. They clearly want the Astropathic Fortress as much as we do, so let's give them a little false hope."
"Lord?"
"Send in another wave of poxwalkers," said Gerlok. "A big one, enough to keep the guns busy for a spell. Use them as cover and pull back to within the shadow of the fortress walls, then dig in. The Ultramarines won't risk dropping barrage bombs and lance strikes so close to their objective, so they'll have to dislodge you the old-fashioned way."
"They can try,"
said Thrax scornfully.
"Exactly. Hold them there for me, Thrax. I will finish the Astra Militarum and then return. And between us, we will hurl back the surviving Ultramarines a second time. Such a bitter mix of disappointment and suffering will surely be enough to perfect our plague.
In Martarian's name, it will be done."
"Eighth Platoon," voxed Dzansk. "Move up through those ruins and secure firing positions. Signal when you're in place, then cover Fifth as they attack."
Voices came back to him over the rattle and thump of gunfire, tight acknowledgements of orders received. The Cadians had advanced to within 2 miles of the fortress before meeting resistance amidst a district of old, rusting chem factories. Now they were fighting to gain ground, Dzansk still pushing his soldiers forward as aggressively as he dared.
"Captain, 3rd Platoon reports more Death Guard moving north of their position," said Caviar. "Heavy infantry and several tanks. Predator class."
"They'll be outflanked,"
said Gunner Astin, tightening her grip on Chonsky's old melter gun.
"Gatekeeper, do you read?"
voxed Dzansk.
"Sergeant Yuri."
"Affirmative, Captain,"
came Yuri's voice, lousy with static.
"Awaiting orders." Third are about to be outflanked to the north, said Dzansk. Intercede. Take Kaza's fury with you.
Understood, said Yuri.
We'll hammer those heretics all the way back to the warp.
Good man, said Dzansk.
He knew that two Lehman Russ tanks wouldn't be enough to overcome the enemy force that 3rd Platoon had reported. Sergeant Yuri probably knew it too. At this stage, it was something of a moot point.
This is Sergeant Chenska, 2nd Platoon,
came a desperate voice over the vox.
We're overrun. They're pushing up through...
The voice cut out, replaced by the scream of lasgun fire. Something exploded with a dull thump before the voice returned.
Repeat, 2nd Platoon is overrun. Enemy infantry and Dreadnought-class walkers are pushing up through Refinery 1-9.
Understood, Chenska, said Dzansk. Can you extract?
Negative. Command, negative,
said Chenska as gunfire blared again.
They've pushed past us. We're holed up in the Administratum wing, but we don't have long. I'm ordering all grenades primed. We'll bring the roof down on these heretic bastards.
Go, with the Emperor's grace, Sergeant, said Dzansk.
Cadia stands! Cadia sta...
Static swallowed her voice. Dzansk balled one fist and thumped it against the Chimera's bulkhead, hard enough to hurt.
Captain, said Kavya, 8ths report heavy drone presence on the ridge. They've been driven back. Martyr's Fist and Imperius have moved to support.
Sir, Commissar Durant has taken command of 5th Platoon. They're attacking, despite the lack of covering fire, taking massive casualties.
Of course they are, said Dzansk.
For a moment, he felt nothing but an incredible weight of exhaustion. Yet anger at his own weakness eclipsed it, and faith burned hot in its wake.
Lieutenant Cassian,
he voxed, switching channels.
Captain,
came the Ultramarine's voice.
I estimate that we have minutes at best, my lord, said Dzansk. I can't listen to my soldiers die without me any longer. I'm joining the fight.
No word yet from Squad Marcus, replied Cassian. We are moving up on the Hab district south of the fortress now, encountering increasing Death Guard resistance. I need you to give us as long as you possibly can, Captain.
With respect, my lord, I've been 15 years in the Guard. I fought at Khazarsonin. I fought on Thracian Primaris. I fought on the Partox fields when the Despoiler came for my world. I fought on half a dozen planets since, and I have never, ever given less than my all for the Emperor. The same is true of every single soldier I lead into battle, so you can be damn well assured that we don't need your urging to fight this fight to our last breath.
Very good, Captain, said Cassian. We are fighting too close to the fortress walls to risk deployment of orbital ordnance. Shall I retask Shipmaster Aethor to support your efforts?
Yes, my lord, said Dzansk. Let cleansing fire rain down upon them.
Go with the Emperor's blessings, Captain Dzansk. It has been an honor.
And you, Lieutenant Cassian, make this count.
Dzansk cut the feed, checked that his las pistol was charged and his grenade belt clipped in place, and then thumbed the tank's internal intercom.
Driver, take us in. Let's give these faithless traitors a taste of Cadian steel.
Absolutely, sir,
came the reply, and with a roar, the Chimera surged forwards.
Get that top hatch open, said Dzansk. Gunners, grant the Emperor's mercy to anything that moves.
Yes, sir,
chorused Astin and Nils, releasing the locking bolts on the Chimera's roof hatch. They heaved the doors open with a clang and hauled themselves up into firing positions. Dzansk joined them, las pistol in hand, while Kavya added his own las gun to the arsenal. Behind them, Color Sergeant Bastel unfurled the banner and raised it high, allowing it to stream out behind the Chimera as it sped between the crumbling ruins. Las fire flashed in the chem factory to Dzansk's right, and the clouds glowed as the first orbital lance beam stabbed down into the battle. Through the driving rain, Dazansk saw bulky shapes loom at the intersection ahead. Bolt shells started to clang from the Chimera's hull and whip past his head. The Chimera's turret tracked and fired, its multi-laser spitting shots into the enemy. The heavy bolter in the hull joined in, thumping shells back at the traitors.
"Pick your targets," ordered Dazansk. "Fire at will!"
As the Chimera ploughed through the intersection, plague marines scattered before it. Dazansk fired his las pistol, shots scorching the heretic's armor. Gunner Astin's melter gun gave its breathy roar, and Nilsa's plasma gun joined in with a deafening scream. Their fire turned one heretic to glowing ash and took the legs off another. Las fire from Dazansk, Kavya, and Bastil blew a third plague marine from his feet. Then their tank was across the intersection and racing away down the street.
"Excellent marksmanship," said Dazansk, grinning fiercely despite himself. "Driver, circle through those ruins towards the 8th. We'll lend them our support."
Overhead, the sky caught fire again as a lance strike speared downwards and detonated a chem factory. The entire structure collapsed, no doubt burying Cadians and heretics alike. The Chimera slewed around a rain-slick corner. Then Dazansk had to cling on tightly as the armored transport swerved sharply, narrowly missing the burning wreck of a Lehman Russ sitting in the middle of the street. Dazansk saw the words "Martyr's Fist" still legible on the wreck's bubbling paintwork.
"Enemies ahead!" voxed the driver. "Captain, get back inside, now!"
Dazansk glimpsed a nightmarish mechanical contraption squatting amidst the ruins in front of them, Cadian corpses heaped around it. He had an impression of an armored mass covered in spikes and guns, with armored arachnoid limbs and a ghoulish death mask. The cannon that jutted from the monstrosity's chest fired, and a sudden hammer blow knocked the breath from Dazansk's lungs. Suddenly, he was tumbling through the air, rain and fire and hurtling ferrocrete all around him. Something hit his cheek, and pain exploded through his jaw. Something else detonated in a cloud of flames and whizzing metal. Then Dazansk hit the roadway with tremendous force and blacked out. Gunnar Astin, blood running down her cheek, a chunk of metal piercing her torso, still bracing and firing her melter gun with a scream of defiance. Blood bursting from her as her body jerks and dances. Boots thumping near his head, jolting him from darkness, running past him. Screams. Gunfire. A familiar figure crawling towards him. Something bulky on its back. Fire. Fire dancing down its limbs, in its hair. Kavya reaching out towards him, then slumping face first in the rain. Darkness and grey. Water and flame. Dazansk groaned and rolled onto his back, then gasped in pain as the motion caused his broken bones to grind together. He opened his eyes, vision swimming, and felt agony radiating from every part of him.
"Kavya!"
He looked and saw Kavya's burned corpse sprawled in the roadway, a dozen yards from a crater full of mangled metal that used to be a Chimera. Dazansk groaned again, reaching a tentative hand up, then snatching it away as he felt how horribly mangled his jaw was. His hand came away soaked in blood. Running on nothing but defiance, Dazansk forced himself to his feet. His right arm hung uselessly by his side, white bone showing through a rip in the blood-drenched cloth of his sleeve. More blood ran freely from cuts and contusions all over his body, and Dazansk was glad that he couldn't see what he looked like at that moment. A corpse too stubborn to die, he thought, then recoiled at the mental image of the enemy's plague mutants. Through a haze of pain, he grasped that he was alone. Kavya, Astin, and Bastil lay dead in the street. Nils was nowhere to be seen. The monstrous spider engine was gone too, no doubt stalking away to slaughter the last of his regiment. Captain Dazansk stood alone, mortally wounded, drenched with rain and full of sorrow and hate. He limped down the street and bent over Bastil's mangled body. With his one good arm, he fumbled at the pole of the regimental standard. It took him 3 attempts, but he managed to hoist the rain-slick pole aloft. The banner still hung from it, singed and stained, but in one piece. Dzansk turned from the wreck and began to limp, one step at a time, towards the distant sound of gunfire. While there was breath in his body, he thought, he would continue to do what he could. Heavy footsteps behind Dzansk made him turn, and he leaned on the banner pole for support. His eyes widened as he saw hulking Terminators lumbering towards him. At their head strode a horn-helmed monster with a tri-bladed axe. The enemy's leader, he thought feverishly. It had to be. He cast about himself for a weapon or for a Vox headset to call down fire on his own position. Anything. The huge Chaos Lord lumbered closer, engulfing Dzansk in a sweat-thick reek of putrefaction that made him gag, then groan at the agony that the motion caused him. Hate flared in his chest as he realized the figure was laughing.
My grandfather's cauldron! Exclaimed the Terminator.
His voice was a deep, bubbling horror, like the last death rattle of a dozen drowning men.
This must be the leader of this merry band of fools.
Dzansk tried to limp backwards, still casting desperately around for a gun. If he could reach Astin's body, then perhaps Chonsky's melter gun could strike one more blow before the end. That spark of hope fizzled out as the hulking Terminators surrounded him, hemming him inside a ring of rusted, seeping metal and fly-blown flesh. The stench was almost more than he could bear. Dzansk leaned on the banner pole and hauled himself upright, staring defiantly as the horn-helmed lord loomed over him.
You stand in the presence of Lord Gerlok, snarled one of the Terminators,
a disgusting vision with a single bulbous eye where his head should be.
You should be on your knees, worm. No, Blothos, said Gerlok. No. This one has earned the right to stand.
He looked down upon Dzansk, whose hate-filled stare didn't waver.
Look at you, jaw hanging by sinews, arm broken, organs ruptured, bones cracked, flesh veritably seething with disease. And still you refuse to fall. In another life, my father might have welcomed you with open arms.
Dzansk tried to speak, but managed nothing more than a slurry of bloodied grunts. Lord Gerlok laughed again, his mirth as genuine as it was horrifying.
I shall assume that whatever you were attempting to say was somewhat less than complimentary, he said,
eliciting cruel chuckles from his warriors. Off in the distance, something exploded as lance fire stabbed down from the sky.
You have proven yourself a stubborn and tenacious foe, said Gerlok,
his tone growing serious.
And for that, I salute you. But your mind is closed, your eyes shut to the glory of chaos, and you have cost me time and warriors.
He reached out and grasped the banner pole, plucking it from Dzansk's hands as easily as taking a toy from a child. Gerlok cast the banner into the mud, then wrapped his fingers around Dzansk's neck and hoisted him easily off the ground. The captain gurgled in agony as broken bones crunched together in his jaw. Gerlok's rust-metal fingers tightening on his windpipe and vertebrae. His good arm twitched and spasmed as he felt rot spreading through his flesh from the heretic's touch.
I am done with your little soldiers, said Gerlok. I have wrung the last droplets of misery and pain from your husks. Now you will die. Then the Ultramarines will die. And then, at last, I will be free to spread the blessings of Nurgle across the stars.
Dzansk was dying, his tormentor's words echoing to him down a long, dark tunnel. His fingers twitched with the last flickers of his life. He felt them touch something. Cold metal. Pin. In his pain and bewilderment, he had forgotten, but now he remembered, and he wordlessly thanked the Emperor for this final gift. With his last breath, Captain Dzansk summoned the strength to pluck out the pin and let it tumble slowly away. He went with it, drifting into darkness like an autumn leaf on the Partox fields of home. He was already dead when the crack grenades on his belt exploded.